Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show. We got some textuals off the text line. We're talking about Nebraska. What a successful season would look like. What would that record look like? What's the bare minimum? What's acceptable? What's the bottom falling out? What's a actual year three jump look like? Now we're going to talk about which games matter just a little bit more. And I, as I was looking at this throughout the break, I was like, I'm going to break it into a couple of different segments. I'm going to break it into the six games out of the 12. So the six, the top 50% that matter just a little bit more to me. And then I'm going to break it down to, what'd I say, four and then one. So the six games that matter just a little bit more, then the four that matter a lot, and then the one game that sticks out a lot to me probably the most. Before we do that, all right, I announced it before, but I'm happy to announce that the ticket will be on site July 9th. At the inaugural Carriker Chronicles football camp, The Drive, Steve Taylor, one-on-one with DP, will be live on site. The Carriker Chronicles football camp, July 9th. Boys and girls, K through 8th grade, t-shirts included, autographs included, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. All right, go to CarrikerChronicles.com to learn more and or register. The camp will feature Eric Crouch, Amon Green, Zach Wieger, Kenny Wilhite, and yours truly. Also, some other former Huskers have been gracious enough to reach out and be helping us coach as well. Such individuals as Corey McEwen, Ron Kellogg. All right, and a couple other guys that played in the NFL that did some pretty cool things. We're going to have an NFL-style combine there at the end of the camp as well. We got about, I think it's 35 coaches that will be helping out. And obviously quite a few campers have registered to this point as well. All right, again, CarrikerChronicles.com. Go there to learn more and or to register. Anything off the text line? Well, let me give my 6-4-1, okay? So six games that stick out to me that mean just a little bit more. Right out the gate, Cincinnati. You said it. I mean, we don't win that game. We're going to be capital R, capital O, C-K-E-D, all caps, rocked. That's a big one. You win that first one, you should be 3-0. And that's big, right out the gate. The next one that sticks out to me, I mentioned it before the break, Minnesota. I'm just sick and tired of losing to them. Way too often. And then the month of November. Like USC, UCLA, Penn State, and Iowa. Those are going to be the games that stick with us the most and the longest. Cincinnati sets the tone for the season. I'm just sick of losing to Minnesota. And Mr. Row the Boat. What we dub him? Mr. Ankles when I was talking? Yeah. You weren't on that show, were you? That was Nick was on that show.
Yeah. All the disrespect for my guy over there.
Hold on. You've been called an Iowa fan. Now you're Row the Boat guy. Explain your guy. What does that mean?
I've just been a big PJ Fleck fan ever since Minnesota hired him. And I think they've done a pretty good job underneath him. Now they get a little upset that he hasn't taken that step since the 2019 season. But, you know, people get annoyed by him or don't want to see him there. I love PJ Fleck. He's fun. He's got his own personality and maybe call it a cult. I like it.
I can't believe I stood up for you earlier this show. Text line, have at it. Let Jake have it. I am giving you, well, some parameters. Keep it within reason, but let Jake have it. Oh, man, I can't believe I stood up for you earlier. Here's the
thing. You're not a PJ Fleck fan, are
you? Actually, I dislike him a lot less than most people. I'll tell you what I dislike the most about him is the good job he's done at Minnesota. And Husker fans are going to hate to hear that. They have beaten us with less talent way too often, and that drives me bonkers. Now, I asked DP why he didn't interview PJ Fleck at Big Ten Media Days while PJ was walking right by us, staring at DP. And DP just looked back. Like he was with his eyes. I watched this whole thing unfold, begging to be interviewed. And DP just kind of, you know, did this and just kind of stared at him, you know, no interview. And then we dubbed him Mr. Ankles because he had a very expensive, nice 3-piece suit on with no socks. And the pants were a little short. So it was easy to see the ankles as he walked by Mr. Ankles. So my six games. I mean, just a little bit more. Cincinnati, Minnesota, and then all four games in November. Like, those four games in November are going to be, in large part, hopefully we're playing a game in December or January, at least one, what we remember throughout the entire offseason.
Interesting that you don't have Michigan in there.
That I did limit it to six.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to have a cap here. So my self-imposed cap was six. It came down to Cincinnati or Michigan. I'm just like, I expect us to beat Cincinnati. I really do. But if we lose that game, like you lose to Michigan, you turn around, you beat Michigan State the next week and Maryland, and you kind of move on. Like, there's all this buildup to that first game at Arrowhead, going to be on ESPN, national television. That carries with you because you don't play another D, like Power 4 team for a month. Yes, you play Akron and Houston Christian, but you could take put Michigan and take Cincinnati out. That was my reasoning for Cincinnati. No, Michigan was right there knocking on the door. Honestly, you could argue Michigan might be bigger than Minnesota. This was my personal list of I'm sick and tired of losing to Mr. Ankles in Minnesota, okay? Just sick and tired of it. And the four games in November, the games to remember played in November, those are the games that are going to stick with us throughout the offseason. USC at home, then you got UCLA, then you got Penn State, a national title contender, then you got, of course, Iowa. So those are my top four, or the four games in November. If I narrow it down to four, those four games in November mean just a little bit more, not necessarily because it's UCLA. It is because it's Iowa and, you know, but it's because that's what people are going to remember for pretty much most of the offseason, depending on what happens in a bowl game, et cetera, et cetera. If I'm going to pick one game that means the most, it's Iowa. I mean, it's Iowa. I flat out said that game feels like it's worth two games to me each and every year. All right. What are the games that stick out the most to you? What games mean just a little bit more? And what do the fine folks on the text line have to say? And have they verbally assaulted you yet?
A little bit. There's some maybe that I can't quite read yet. Oh, it's kind of funny.
You know what? You can't or won't read them.
We'll see. Well, Missy Mud Dog says, Bach, PJ is a giant bleep word, so I can't say that.
Bleep word. Okay. All right. Fill in the blank.
Yeah, there you go. 0220 says, hey, Adam, I had an interesting conversation with an Iowa fan that gave me an interesting point of view. He said he feels Iowa had a higher chance of winning eight games, but we agreed Nebraska has a higher chance of winning 10 games. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree with that. Iowa is that team with a higher floor. Like, Nebraska also has a higher chance of winning 4 to 5 games, just like they have a higher chance of winning 10 games. Like, Iowa is that team that has a higher floor than Nebraska does. Nebraska's floor is lower. The ceiling is also higher. It's lower because of the unpredictability and who knows what in the blue hell to really expect out of Nebraska football. It's also higher because, let's be honest, we have more talent. We just do. Now, whether we win, don't know. Got to wait and see. Iowa, you know who they are. You know what they're going to do. You know what to expect. You know they're going to run the ball, play good defense, be sound, win the penalty battle way more often than not, win the turnover battle way more often than not. They're not going to beat themselves. Play good, fundamentally sound, physical, blue-collar, in-your-face, smash-mouth football. That type of football and who they are raises their floor. Like, their floor is probably 6 wins at worst, 6-6. Their ceiling, I mean, they can win 10 games, but I think Nebraska is more likely to win 10 games because of our talent that we have acquired and frankly, some of the coaching changes. So I think he makes a phenomenal point. I have no arguments with what he said in any way, shape, or form. What say you, Jake?
Yeah, you know, I can agree with that as well. Like, just for the reason that you kind of pointed out there, though, it always is interesting. If Iowa does have an offense, or, you know, an average offense, like we kind of talk about with Nebraska's special teams, if they're just average, Nebraska probably would want a few more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Games last year, if Iowa has an average offense, look out, because then that ceiling, I think, can move up considerably for him. So that's interesting. But I mean, I agree with you. I feel like Iowa, and I think it's probably good for the rivalry, I suppose. I mean, I don't know if the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry is what you care about the most, you know, joining the Big Ten. But when but the rivalry needed Iowa to win as many games as they did for it to feel as big as it is now. And now when I look at it, and you've got Michigan and USC and Penn State and UCLA and all these teams on this schedule, and I'm still thinking, yeah, I want to beat Iowa the most. It's strange that we got here, but that's where we are. And again, for a lot of people kind of pointing out on the text line or through YouTube chat too, is that, you know, often it's the reason why it's so frustrating to lose to Iowa is you often outgain them in yardage. You look better for 3.5 quarters, whatever the case may be. They just find a way eventually to beat you. So that would be my most important game. I do think Michigan holds a lot of weight. I would probably include them in a six if I had to. Similar 6 years, I'd have to almost take out maybe UCLA. Although that's a big one too. Remember, that was kind of the turning point last year when they made the move at offensive coordinator after that game. So, I mean, it would not be a good look to lose to UCLA two years in a row. But it's just so hard to tell right now, what does UCLA look like at that point in time? Like you said, they did get Nico Iamaliava in the offseason, so that should be exciting for them. But they weren't a great team last year. I still don't have the most trust in Deshaun Foster, so we have to kind of see what they look like as a team to try to regard how big that game will be.
So a couple of questions for you. Does Nebraska-Iowa, does it mean more to you right now than Nebraska-Colorado did when that game was being played every year? Which rivalry means more to you? Like, as you sit here right now in this moment, and we're in the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry era, I guess you can phrase it, versus the Nebraska-Colorado little brother, big brother rivalry era that was?
That's interesting, because I think it depends on what era of the Colorado rivalry you're talking about. Even in the Big 12, like early Big 12 days, Colorado was a top five team. The 62-36 shellacking in Nebraska. Nebraska's never gotten off the mat from that one. Never been ranked number one again after that. Like that era, there. I always say this with the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry: you can't make up stakes. Like you can't make the stakes as high as you would a number one versus number 12, whatever they were, Colorado at the time, and what happened there. Nebraska-Iowa just hasn't had a game like that. So, but then Colorado got pretty bad, right, toward the end or latter half of Nebraska's days in the Big 12, and so the Iowa rivalry would feel bigger there. But I think if you're still doing all time, you got to go with Colorado, just because there was a lot more games with bigger stakes on the line.
With the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry, you were right. Iowa needed to win some of those games to make it a rivalry. Now Nebraska needs to win some games in response or in return to kind of balance out that rivalry and truly get it going forward. So what would be your top six games if you want to narrow it down to three or four, and then your top one next year?
Again, and then the conversation is interesting, because what does top mean? Because if you lose to Penn State, like we include Penn State in there, but you're almost expected to lose that one.
What means more to you? What would mean more to you? Yeah.
Well, I think that, and then that's why I highlighted Penn State. Penn State and Michigan, I think, are maybe USC. We'll have to see how they are. But those are national brands. And I think that especially early in the season, Michigan, it doesn't matter what they finish, those games just feel important, right? Because it's a important program to see what the story is. And Nebraska the same way. So I think those are the two opportunities to go outside of Big Ten footprint and get national attention, like really start to create some momentum. So I'd have to put those at the top. But as far as like realistically, I don't know if you're expecting to beat Penn State. I would put Michigan up there, though. I mean, I think that's a tone set. We talk about Colorado last year and winning that game. Obviously, maybe not the best example because Nebraska didn't respond the best down the stretch of the season last year, but that certainly felt like a big win. I think Michigan could set the tone for a big run for Nebraska. And if you look after that, if you beat Michigan, you know, Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern, solid teams, but they're not, they're probably not going to be like Michigan. So you could start to see a bit of a run here. Then here we go with the 7-0 talk again, right? But so that's kind of interesting. It's hard.
Here we go.
Yeah. It's hard to pick, you know, to order them depending on kind of which way you're looking at it. But again, I just got to go with Iowa number one, like you did, just because I feel like, you know, in all encompassing that game. And then the other thing is just the last game and all the oftentimes when you're trying to decide what was the season? What does it look like? A lot of it can, I mean, 8-4 and beating Iowa. Okay. 7-5 and losing to Iowa. We're upset.
It's a fair point. Okay. You've also talked me into including the Michigan game. So while you were finishing up there, I'm like, all right, what game am I swapping out? Cause you've talked me into it. The tone set is what got me. Cause you're right. Let's say we are 3-0 or it's 2-1. And that would be a disappointment heading into Michigan. But if we beat Michigan and what adds to it, true freshman quarterback, we're at home. They don't have their head coach. That all adds to it. Okay, you've talked me into it. So as I sit here, here are my new six games. All right. I'm just going to go through the schedule. I'm not ranking them. Cincinnati, Michigan, Minnesota. You did not have Minnesota in there. I've got Minnesota in there. USC, Penn State, Iowa. I've swapped out UCLA, which if we lose to them a second year in a row, that will be brutal. But you've talked me into it. I do think Michigan, obviously, they're a big national brand, okay? But getting them at home, again, we don't play a true road game until middle of October. That is huge. Our first five games are essentially home games, okay? Four of them are home games, and Kansas City Arrowhead basically is a home game. So I'm gonna put Michigan in there because let's say we are 3-0, and let's say we do beat Michigan. Then all of a sudden, you're 4-0, and you've beaten Michigan. And you've got a Michigan State team who I think people are underestimating, but they're going to come into Lincoln. It's a tone setter. Now, we'd have to respond better if we beat them than how the rest of the season per se is an overall whole. When after Colorado, there were some good things. There were some frustrations as well. More consistency is what we'd really be looking for, but you've talked me into it. I'll swap out UCLA. I've already got three of the other four November games as three games that stick out to me. So I'll swap Michigan for UCLA. Do we got anything else off the text line there, Jake?
A few thoughts here. Kip says the Colorado win got me through the entire season last year and the Creighton basketball win. So it lets you know sometimes what those rivalries can get you going.
So imagine had we lost to Colorado. Imagine that. Like, I think people almost sometimes look back on that like, oh, did we put too much into that? And when then we couldn't keep the momentum going. Well, no, that's part of playing consistent, good high-level sports, whatever it is, football, basketball, baseball, etc. But imagine how we lost. No, we won. Imagine how we lost, Jake. And I like that he pointed out the Nebraska win over Creighton in basketball. That does help there as well. Sorry, go ahead.
So Jesse says Colorado was the bigger rivalry, no question. Bill and Bennett says DP will have my head for that PJ Fleck love. So that's probably out there. And then Andrew said he overheard on YouTube, says I overheard Jake saying he wants an Iowa-Minnesota national championship game. That would be my dream. The Floyd of Rosedale.
Wow.
Brought up to the biggest level of college football. Floyd of Rosedale, my favorite trophy game in college football.
Wow. I need to have a talk with DP during the break. We need to make some job evaluations as far as who is producing the show going forward. I don't know what's going on out there. Oh, I love that you've embraced the heel roll, though. You just embrace it. I'm just going to be the heel here in Nebraska.
I also have an SEC network table in my
basement. Oh, my God. He's gone full blown. You're the dirtiest player in the game now, Jake.
That's right.
Were there any more verbal assaults on you? Don't leave those out now on the text line. I think there were some more verbal assaults on you before we get to our next break.
Well, I don't know if this is a verbal assault. Depends on where your fandom lies. But 7826 says, Jake sounds like he would be a fan of the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Ooh. All right. I'm picking up what you're putting down, having the AFC West rivalry Raiders and Broncos in my house with my kids. So I get that.
And right. Mississippi Mud Dog chimes in, says he wants to see me get choke slammed. So there you go.
A public flogging is in Jake's near future. A public flogging, ladies and gentlemen. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.